horse camp. All the other seniors were over at the street side of the parking lot, but Sal stayed with Nora while they waited for the bus drivers. "Maybe you'll be in the creek cabin," Sal said, quiet and serious. "I had it second year. It's the best one, number 5. "How do they, when do you, like, find out? What cabin?" "They better remember we're in the same cabin," Ev said, sounding shrill. Nora did not look at her. She and Ev had planned for months and known for weeks that they were to be cabin mates. But what good was that if they never found their cabin? And also Sal was not looking at Ev, only at Nora. Sal was cool, a tower of ivory. "They show you around as soon as you get there," she said, her quiet voice speaking directly to Nora's last night dream of never finding the room where she had to take a test she was late for, and looking around endless thatched barracks in a forest of thin black trees growing very close together, like hair, under a hand lens. Nora had told no one the dream, and now remembered, and forgot it. "Then you have dinner, and first campfire," Sal said. "Kimmy's going to be a counselor again. She's really neat. Listen, you tell old Merody." Nora drew breath. In all the histories of horse camp, which she had asked for and heard over and over for 3 years, the thunderstorm story, the horse thief story, the wonderful Stevens Mountain stories, in all of them, Merody the handler had been. Merody said, Merody did, Merody knew. "Tell him I said hi," Sal said, with a shadowy smile, looking across the parking lot at the far, insubstantial towers of downtown. Behind them, the doors of the junior girls' bus gasped open. One after another, the engines of the 4 buses roared and spewed. Across the asphalt in the hot morning light, small figures were lining up and climbing into the junior boys' bus. High, rough, faint voices bawled. "Okay, hey, have fun," Sal said. She hugged Nora, and then, keeping a hand on her arm, looked down at her intently for a moment from the tower of ivory. She turned away. Nora watched her walk lightfoot and buxom across the black gap to the others of her kind who enclosed her, greeting her, "Sal, hey, Sal." Ev was twitching and nickering. "Come on, Nora, come on. We'll have to sit way at the back. Come on." Side by side, they pressed into the line below the gaping doorway of the bus. In number 5 cabin, 4 iron cots, thin mattressed, gray blanketed, stood strewn with bottles of insect repellent and styling mousse, T-shirts lettered UCSD and I Love Teddy Bears, a flashlight, an apple, a comb with hair caught in it, a paperback book open face down, The Black Cult of Pirate Island. Over the shingle roof, huge second-growth redwoods cast deep shade, and a few feet below the porch, the creek ran out into sunlight over brown stones streaming bright green weed. Behind the cabin, Jim Meredith, the horse handler, a short man of 50 who had ridden as a jockey in his teens, walked along the well-beaten path, quick and a bit bow-legged. Meredith's lips were pressed firmly together. His eyes, narrow and darting, glanced from cabin to cabin, from side to side. Far through the trees, high voices cried. The counselors know what is to be known. Red Ginger, blonde Kimmy, and beautiful black Sue. They know the vices of Pal and how to keep Trigger from putting her head down and drinking for 10 minutes from every creek. They strike the great shoulders smartly. "Ah, get over, you big lunk." They know how to swim underwater, how to sing in harmony, how to get seconds, and when a shoe is loose. They know where they are. They know where the rest of horse camp is. "Home Creek runs into Little River here," Kimmy says, drawing lines in the soft dust with a redwood twig that breaks. "Senior girls here, senior boys across there, junior birdmen about here." "Who needs 'em?" says Sue, yawning. "Come on. Who's going to help me walk the mares?" They were all around the campfire on Quartz Meadow after the long first day of the first overnight. The counselors were still singing, but very soft, so soft you almost couldn't hear them, lying in the sleeping bag listening to one spot stamp and Trigger snort, and the shifting at the pickets, standing in the fine, cool alpine grass, listening to the soft voices and the sleepers shifting, and later one coyote down the mountain singing all alone.
"Nothing wrong with you, get up,"
said Merrity, and slapped her hip, turning her long, delicate head to him with a deprecating gaze. Philly got to her feet. She stood a moment, shuddering the reddish silk of her flank as if to dislodge flies, tested her left foreleg with caution, and then walked on, step by step, watching. Nora went with her. Inside her body, there was still a deep trembling. As she passed him, the handler just nodded.
"You're all right,"
he meant. She was all right. Freedom. The freedom to run. Freedom is to run. Freedom is galloping. What else can it be? Only other ways to run, imitations of galloping across great highlands with the wind. Oh, Philly, sweet Philly, my love. If Ev and Trigger couldn't keep up, she'd slow down and come round in a while, after a while, over there, across the long, long field of grass. Once she had learned this by heart and knew it forever, the purity, the pure joy.
"Right leg, Nor," said Merrity,
and passed on to Cass and Tammy. "You have to start with the right four. Everything else is all right. Freedom depends on this, that you start with the right four, that long leg, well balanced on its elegant pastern, that you set down that tiptoe middle fingernail so hard and round and spurn the dirt. High-stepping, trot past old Merrity, who always hides his smile." Shoulder to shoulder, she and Ev, in the long heat of afternoon, in a trance of light, across the home creek in the dry wild oats and cow parsley of the long pasture. "I was afraid before I came here," thinks Nora, incredulous, remembering childhood. She leans her head against Ev's firm and silken side. The sting of small flies awakens, the swish of long tails sends to sleep. Down by the creek in a patch of coarse grass, Philly grazes and dozes. Sue comes striding by, winks wordless, beautiful as a burning coal, lazy and purposeful, bound for the shade of the willows. Is it worth getting up to go down to get your feet in the cool water? Next year, Sal will be too old for a camper, but can come back as a counselor, come back here. Nora will come back a second-year camper, Sal a counselor. They will be here. This is what freedom is, what goes on, the sun in summer, the wild grass, coming back each year. Coming back from the long pack trip to Stevens Mountain, weary and dirty, thirsty and in bliss. Coming down from the high places in line, Sue jogging just in front of her, and Ev half asleep behind her, some sound or motion caught and turned Nora's head to look across the alpine field. On the far side, under dark firs, a line of horses, mounted and with packs. "Look!" Ev snorted. Sue flicked her ears and stopped. Nora halted in line behind her, stretching her neck to see. She saw her sister going first in the distant line, the small head proudly borne. She was walking light foot and easy, fresh, just starting up to the high passes of the mountain. On her back, a young man sat erect, his fine, fair head turned a little aside, to the forest. One hand was on his thigh, the other on the reins guiding her. Nora called out, and then broke, from the line, going to Sal, calling out to her. "No, no, no, no," she called. Behind her, Ev and then Sue called to her, "Nor, Nor." Sal did not hear or heed, going straight ahead, the color of ivory, distant in the clear, dry light. She stepped into the shadow of the trees. The others and their riders followed, jogging one after the other, till the last was gone. Nora had stopped in the middle of the meadow and stood in grass, in sunlight. Flies hummed. She tossed her head, turned, and trotted back to the line. She went along it from one to the next, teasing, chivying, Kimmy yelling at her to get back in line, till Sue broke out of line to chase her, and she ran, and then Ev began to run, whinnying shrill, and then Cass and Philly, and all the rest, the whole bunch, cantering first and then running flat out, running wild, racing, heading for horse camp and the long pasture, for Merity and the long evening standing in the fenced field, in the sweet dry grass, in the fetlock shallow water of the home creek.